Coming to you live from the JRE Tobacco Aladino Mobile Studios, it's the Cigar Pulpit.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another sermon from the Cigar Pulpit. I'm the Bishop of the Burn, Nick. And coming to you in the JRE Tobacco Aladino Mobile Studios...
It's your girl, Pinky.
It's Pinky. We're in Pinky's backyard.
I'm fired up and ready to go. Let's go.
I was going to say, she's at it. She's ready to go. We are coming to you from the backyard, and it's a beautiful day here in Southern Illinois.
It's beautiful.
And so I got a random text message this morning saying, like, hey, do you need somebody for the show? And I'm like, yes, I do. So here we are. Today we're going to be smoking the Leaf by Oscar 10th Anniversary Criollo Toro. Features, it's a Honduran Puro. I think it's Yamastron, I think they said, for the wrapper. But anyway,
I'm going to nod in agreement like I know.
6x52 Toro. And, you know, as everybody who's listened to the show before knows, I'm a big fan of the Leaf by Oscar cigars. And so figured we'd give the 10th anniversary a shot. I may have actually smoked the 10th anniversary on the show before, but I believe it might have been an episode that I had Dave Garofalo as a guest, and I don't think I talked one damn bit about the cigar.
Oh.
Because I was just engrossed in all the other conversation, and it was just something that was happening.
So you give the people what they want today. They want the review.
I'm going to give Oscar what he wants. I'm going to actually give a review of the cigar today and give it a shot. Anyway, it's time to cut the cigar, and the official cutting is brought to you by Dan the Man Ponder over there at Riverman Cigar Company of Crestwood, Missouri. And, guys, Dan the Man Ponder, he's been getting in all kinds of cigars. He does carry, at least last I knew, I should probably say, put that caveat, you know, Leaf by Oscar. So if you're interested in the Leaf by Oscar cigars, you know, ask Dan for those. But there's been all kinds of other great cigars rolling in at Riverman Cigar Company. And the humidor changes, so you're going to want to make sure that you swing by, check it out. And if you're not in the St. Louis area, you can give him a call because he does do mail order and he can get a shipment of cigars sent to you right away. It's Riverman Cigar Company of Crestwood, Missouri. And with that, it's time to go ahead and cut the cigar. Okie dokie.
I'm going to bum both the cutter and the lighter today.
You don't have any tools?
I mean, I do. They're inside, and I'm lazy.
Oh, well, I mean, I get that. So, that'll be interesting because my lighter has been, I don't know what's going on with it. I got a jet that's doing something funky. So, like, it's a big flame.
Oh, okay.
It's not that the wheel is turned up, because I attempted to adjust the wheel, and when I did, I mean, the flame, like, went really way down. So, like, I don't know. It's a Vertigo Cyclone. I've had it for a long time, and I'm just wondering if it's about to give up the ghost, you know? But
give up the ghost?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before. I mean, like, that's a way to die?
Yeah, basically.
You're not. It's going to unalive itself?
You're going to give up the ghost, you know?
Oh, I like
it. You're going to give it up.
Yeah.
So, anyway, cold draw on the Leaf by Oscar, 10th anniversary.
Smells really good.
Does it? What do you, it's windy. What do you smell?
I'm going to go with cigar.
Cigar?
Oh
my God.
Those on the YouTube just got a real close up.
Say, how you doing? Wow.
Up close and personal with Nicholas.
That was unexpected. But you know what? The last time the wind took the iPad and blew it over, the co-host at the time didn't catch that, and so I cracked the hell out of that iPad. So at least this time, I managed to save it.
You're welcome.
Thank you for giving me the heads up.
I smell kind of like a berry.
A berry?
But here's the thing, like, I'm also drinking, like, a flavored...
That might be it.
Flavored water, so maybe. It smells good. All right, cold draw.
Cold draw for me, anyway.
Tobacco, 100%.
That's a legitimate flavor note. Barnyardy. Little barnyardy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, kind of that musty, earthy hay kind of straw kind of mixture. Not poop. I don't get poop. When I say barnyard, I don't mean manure.
Manure
is a totally different thing. You know, gurga. Anyway, we won't get into
this. This will be the nicest cigar I've smoked in a long time.
Yeah.
I've been really slumming it.
Okay. Slumming it.
Doing my cheap $2 to $3 ones. Not built real well. They fall apart often.
Yeah.
So.
Heading on down to the factory, are we?
Yeah. Yep. I need to restock my humidor, too, because, and I bet we'll get into this, so I've done my duty as a sister of the leaf and introduced someone to cigar smoking recently.
Really?
Yes. Ooh, that smells good from over here.
Watch that.
That smells good.
Okay. Well, I want to know more about that.
All right, let me get this lit.
You know, for those of you who have been with us for a while, you know that the origin story here is that the Cigar Fairy visited Pinky right at the beginning of COVID. And Cigar Fairy, being me, I dropped off. Ironically, you know what? This is, oh my God, I just realized.
Is this like full circle?
No, I just realized just how full circle this is. Do you remember what I dropped off to you?
No. Whatever it was great. It was like introduced perfectly. Yes, you knew what you were doing.
Well, I also knew that you didn't remember. So, what I introduced you to? Leaf by Oscar, Connecticut, and Maduro.
Oh.
I gave you.
How do you remember this?
Because I distinctly remember that I wanted to give you both a Connecticut and a Maduro so you could smoke them and taste the differences in them. And I think there was maybe a flavored one in there.
There was for sure a sugar tipped one.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was
I know for a fact that it was the Leaf by Oscar in the Connecticut and the Maduro. So what's funny is here we are talking about how you're introducing somebody new to smoking while smoking the 10th anniversary version of the cigar that I gave you to start your cigar journey.
DJ Airhorn.
I mean, you know what? I think that deserves it. Because that's
awesome.
That's an ironic twist of fate that I didn't even consider when I set this up.
Well, and before we hit record, you were showing me your note from the first couple months of the year with all the cigars you smoked. And holy Jesus.
Yeah, I know.
It's like I know you smoke a lot, but I mean, that's impressive.
I'll say this. I knew I smoked a lot, but I didn't know until I started, like, you know, keeping track. And
yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I've had to start a second note. For those of you who are interested, I've had to start a second note. I completed April, so I now have the January through April note, but then I have now going the May through August note. So I'm going to do, like, you know, thirds of the year. And that way it's easier to keep track of.
Yeah, for sure. Once you showed me how far you have to scroll just to get through that first note, I see why you started the second one.
Yeah, it was just annoying. So, and then now I figure I can... I want to import it into, like, you know, Excel. Have a nice little spreadsheet.
After you do that, that's when you engage me, right? Because I'm like, I will create you this beautiful dashboard that, like, has pivot tables, and it'll take your date, and you'll be like...
I don't even know what a pivot table is.
Oh, that's a shame.
I don't even know what a pivot table is.
You would be like, I wonder what brand I smoked the most, what company.
That would be nice
to know. And then you would
click
it, and then it would... take the same data and display it a bunch of different ways.
That will be nice to know.
So.
Okay.
But I will just tell you, being the nerd I am, the end result that you want to see is all going to be driven by the quality of data you input. So you've got to separate,
You tell me what categories I need to provide, and I can fill them in when I create the database or the spreadsheet. That's easy. Yeah.
This is really good. I can see why I started.
Right? No, yes. I'll tell you what. The Leaf by Oscar cigars, I was just talking to my dad the other day. He smoked one that he picked up down at the Ash and Ale in Palm Coast, Florida when he was down there in January. And he was raving about those, too. So it's funny. The Leaf by Oscar is one of those things that it's out there. Everybody likes it. I don't really hear a lot about it sometimes. And then all of a sudden, it's like now. It's kind of like when you buy a car.
Yes. You test drive a car.
You're like, I never see this car anywhere. And then all of a sudden, it's everywhere.
There's a name for that phenomenon, right?
I don't know.
I think there is, yeah. It's like your awareness.
It's also like when you go out with a gal one time and, you know, you think everything's going great. And then the next time she's just like, you know.
It's not working for me.
I don't think it's working for me now. And then you go on the dating apps again and she's fucking everywhere.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's like, well, That's awkward. Should I go ahead and swipe right on you just to say hi? Or just be like, I see you? Or should I just move on with life? Yeah. No.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. Okay, so back to my friend Drew,
yeah,
who
so
I started.
Yeah, so Drew, you introduced somebody new to smoking cigars.
So this is how it happened. He's got this lake house that he and his coworkers go to.
Look at you hanging out with bougie friends with a lake house.
Well, I mean, I've never seen it. I don't know. He calls it the clubhouse, so I don't know. But
still,
it's you know, a house on a lake. Right, me either.
I don't have any property on
and
the lake.
And they work a lot around the house. So it's like last time he went, he was showing me pictures of a deck they built. So like they work during the day and then, you know, sit around and fire pit and drink at night and kind
sounds
of
great.
Sounds perfect. But he was telling me that they all smoke cigarettes.
Okay.
So they're sitting around at night and it's like, you know, and I said, well, you should try a cigar. And he had tried one, I guess, a couple years ago. Didn't enjoy it. Wasn't what he thought.
Probably inhaled. You don't want to inhale. You don't want to
And
inhale.
So he's got a buddy that smokes
or
cigars.
Or he smoked like a freaking, what is it, the Black and Mild or the, you know, the gas station cigars.
Yes. Right.
Know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So his buddy's been trying to get him to do it, and he's like, I don't know. So after I convinced him, I was like, just give it a try. So I gave him my travel humidor, all the accessories. I picked up two or three cigars from my humidor, gave it to him, and told him these are very different. So don't, if you smoke one and you don't like it, like, don't give up on the rest. Like, figure it out.
Yeah.
Channeled my, I should have just texted you and said, well, the problem is my humidor right now, the stock is abysmal. It looks awful. So I gave him the best I could. And he really liked it. He smoked five cigars the first night.
Oh, my God.
They were sitting outside.
That's like a me level type thing.
Right?
I mean, that's like a full day. Well, here, hang on.
That's probably a full day.
That could be a full day. I mean, I know that's a full day. But, like, I mean, yesterday was a 4 day. Okay.
Wow.
Now, okay, here we go. What day was this? April 24th? What day of the week was that? That was last Wednesday. Okay. That was a heavy use day. Because Wednesdays are when I'm driving and
correct.
Doing my deliveries. But
you've got
let's
some time.
See. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 that day. Now, okay, I remember what happened here because I'm looking at this. That was the day that I had a house guest come along fairly late in the evening, about 11 o'clock in the evening. And he and I was sitting out by the fire pit when he got there, and I kind of thought, you know, we'd hang out for a minute. No, we hung out by the fire pit until 3 in the morning.
Wow.
So I was up from 7 in the morning to like 3 in the morning
day.
And so I got a decent early start on the smoking because I was up earlier.
But you didn't plan on staying up that
but
late.
I didn't plan on staying up till 3 in the morning. And so, yeah, I just kind of like powered through. So it was a heavy use day. Seven is a heavy use day. And I'll be honest, the next day I smoked like one.
Okay.
So yeah.
Is there like a hangover feeling the next, like, do you feel any different the next day?
Your mouth might feel a little gritty.
Oh, okay.
If you smoke that many, you will, at least for me, I will blow out the palate if I smoke that many. It's like at some point you lose all sense of flavor of the cigar, and it's just cigar. And so then if you give it a couple of days to reset, then you're better. But,
I think the most, you and I had gone over to St. Louis. This was during COVID still. And we got
there.
It's
been a minute since we
right
had
when
the time
they opened,
to do that.
We were on the hill. We got there right when they opened. I mean, we left at 6 or 7, but I think I had 3 or 4. And that's maximum capacity for Pinky. that was a lot. So, but he kept texting me throughout the night, you know, reviews of, oh, I'm getting ready to light this one up, and then he'd sent me another one and get ready. And like 2:30 in the morning was the last text I got. So what, I didn't get any of them until I woke up the next morning, and I was like, holy cow, 5 that one night. I'm like, you must enjoy smoking cigars now, because you went from not liking it to 5 that night.
Yeah. No, that's great. I mean, and the fact that they were different too, did he, I mean, he probably didn't think to, but like in a perfect world, he'd have kept some notes so that he could say like, hey, I liked this one, but it had this little bitter taste to it. I liked this one.
No, the overall report back was he liked all of them.
Okay.
And I gave him a...
I was going to say...
The Makeda.
Okay.
Remember that you had gotten me down in Tampa. Yeah,
down in Tampa.
The Makeda, one of the factory smokes from Drew Estates, the Red Band. One of the, it wasn't the Fat Bottom Betty, probably the Crazy Alice or the Sweet Jane, like one of those from the Three Bitches line.
So you even went, well, okay, so that's two different flavored ones there.
Yeah. Because
you had the sweet tip and then now you've got this flavored infused one.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then a Davidoff Cigarello.
Okay.
And then.
So fairly light.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I don't think I gave him anything heavy.
Okay.
Because, you know, I don't.
Well, you don't really smoke a ton of heavy, but then also, like, if your humidor is low, then, selection is going to be limited. Interesting.
So he really enjoyed it. So I've got another smoking buddy now.
Oh, good. All right, then. So does he have a lighter? I mean, you don't even, for God's sakes, today. But, like, does he have a lighter and a cutter, or is he, like...
I think so, but I don't...
Does he have his tools?
But I don't think they're quality. Like, you know, it's how we all start off. Like,
whatever.
Oh, somebody gave somebody this little, you know...
The little $4 plastic clippy one,
yes.
And then, you know, like, one of those lighters, you know? It's like, yeah, you're...
Correct. So I gave him one of these. I don't know what that's called.
The Vertigo Cyclone.
So I gave him one of those, because I had two.
For $10, it's, like, the best freaking lighter out there. Yeah.
Yes. And then, at an event or something, you know, birthday or something coming up, we'll get him. We'll load him up.
There you go.
He needs a humidor. As far as I know, he doesn't have even a travel one.
Oh, well, hell, I probably have like four of them sitting around.
I wondered that.
I was going to say,
I know who to ask.
Talk to me. So yeah, no, we can make that happen.
Yeah.
And, well, cool. Very good. Very good. Well, maybe I'll let him have first dibs at some things because I'm getting ready to sort through the Tupper doors and do a clean out.
Yeah.
It's been needed for a while. I've accumulated entirely
too
much.
Yeah. I would appreciate that. Would be a personal favor to me if you let him have access to some of that.
Okay.
So, you know, he's starting out on his journey, and you know they can be pricey. So I think
they can
getting,
exactly.
Yeah, getting some.
And so it's just one of those things. They're sitting around, and there's stuff in there that I know I'm not going to smoke it. Like, it's not that it's bad. In no way, shape, or form is it bad. It's just I know my flavor palate.
Not your thing.
I know my cigar palate, and I know that, like, for example, that...
How would you describe your palate? Like, you meet somebody, and they're like, tell me what you like.
So I tend to like medium to strong cigars. So, yeah, medium to bold cigars. I tend to veer, if we're talking wrapper types, you know, Habano, Sun Grown, you know, that kind of thing. I don't really do much in the Connecticut Shade family at all. But I mean, I don't mind it once in a while. I mean, there are some that I do like. That's how I would
describe. So how would you describe mine?
You probably do play in the Connecticut Shade side a little bit more than I do. I don't know. I haven't seen you smoking a lot of Maduros, so I would say that you're probably a Connecticut, maybe a Sun Grown smoker at best. I'd say in terms of strength, you're probably a mild to medium smoker. And then obviously... You do enjoy the flavored infused, which I'll have one every once in a while. I mean, I did. Do I want to get into this?
That's a yes.
Fuck it. I will. So I had a Fat Bottom Betty. I could look it up on the list and tell you specifically what day. But I had one driving to. I was doing my paper run. And, you know, I'm just going to say it. I like that cigar a lot.
I do
in
too.
Terms of a flavored infused cigar, that's one of my go-tos, one of my favorites. I smoke one maybe once every 6 months, you know, that kind of thing. Just to kind of like, you know, break up the monotony and have something different with the palate. But what the fuck has gone on with the construction and the quality of that cigar? That cigar was spongy and but not like over humidified. it was like underfilled. It was it smoked like shit. I was constantly lighting it. It had giant tobacco voids in there to where like there was. So I don't know what the hell happened. Yikes. I don't know if maybe the brand kind of blew up, and so because it blew up, you know, quality went down as they were cranking them out in order to get them into stores. But for what it's worth, and I don't want to be negative and critical, but I'm saying this because I want it to be good. I want
it
to
be good. You care about it, so you want it to, yes.
This is one that I got at TPE this year. So this is a new one. My stock, my personal stock of Fat Bottom Betty's, they're old. I mean, I smoke one every 6 months. So, like, you know.
You probably had them years.
I bought a box when I was down at the Drew Estate Barn Smoker in 2019. You know?
Oh, okay.
And so, like, that thing is still going because it's not like
you're not smoking them enough.
No, so, I mean, these are aged, you know? But whatever. The point is, the construction and quality of those are way better than the current one that I got at TPE. So, I don't know what's going on, but damn it, get your shit together. Get your shit together.
Gonna clip that and send it to them.
You should.
You just saying.
Damn
get
it.
Your shit together.
Get your shit together. Anyway.
So, yeah. So I'm excited to have another local person to.
Well, yeah, because he's even more local than me.
For sure. Yeah, he's here in town. Yeah.
It's like I gotta travel. You know? So okay. Well, fun. Well, why don't we? Okay. So real quick. The Leaf. How are we digging the Leaf?
It's solid. It's good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not great at like deciphering flavor notes and stuff, but like this to me, you clearly knew what you were doing when you handed this to me as one of my first cigars, because this is, it's not too much. I don't know how else to describe it. Except,
the retro
like, it's not,
has got a little bit of strength to it. Yeah. And I just ashed on my pants.
Oh, great.
It's okay. It's on my pants. If you're going to get ash anywhere. At least it's just in my pants. You don't want to ash.
You can move
shirt.
That closer.
Anyway, no, I think I think in terms of cigars for new smokers, Oscar and his company, they make really good cigars for that. The Leaf by Oscar Connecticut is a super quality cigar that I would have no trouble giving to a brand new cigar smoker, obviously. The Oscar Connecticut 2012 is also one that he makes that Connecticut, my God, it's super light. So like that one, again, no trouble giving that to a new cigar smoker at all. My only issue with that one is it's with it being box pressed.
Oh, yeah. That's hard to.
I think that's a hard introductory
correct.
Point.
Agreed.
I think introduction wise, you ought to start with a round one.
Yes.
And I know for some people it doesn't matter, but by God, for a lot of people it does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, surprisingly, for a lot of people it really matters.
Well, and if you're trying to introduce them and you want a positive result, you want them to keep doing it, you got to set yourself up to provide the maximum experience.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, but no, I'm really enjoying this. It's got a nice little bit of spice to it. You know, nothing that's like offensive. I mean,
right.
Nothing that's like too strong or anything, but it's a nice, good, solid, medium bodied cigar.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying this, the 10th anniversary Leaf. So, why don't we now go ahead and, do this. It's time for the Villiger Cigars Entertainment Report, brought to you by
Villiger.
Villiger Cigars, one of the leading cigar and cigarillo manufacturers in the world, founded in 1888 and still family-owned and operated. Head over to VilligerCigars.com and check the store locator to find a shop near you that carries them. We guarantee that Villiger Cigars will be a wonderful addition to your humidor and cigar rotation. All right. This is always a rough segment for you, I know. So, what have you been entertained by? And again, it doesn't have to be TV or movie, because I know you're not a big TV or movie person.
I mean, what's entertaining me now is my kid plays a travel sport, and that's in full swing. But that's probably only entertaining to me. My husband and I have been re-watching Parks and Rec.
Good show.
That is so good.
Good show. Love that show.
I want to say there was a documentary. This is my problem, is I watch something and then it's gone.
Yeah.
I watched a documentary recently called something like Did Jennifer Do It or something like that.
What did Jennifer do?
That, well, her parents, her mom ended up dead.
Oh, okay.
Her dad got shot.
Yeah.
And questions remained about whether what happened actually happened.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
That was interesting.
Okay.
Give me a minute.
I will freely admit, I've been super busy.
Okay.
So I have not done a lot of watching. However, podcast-wise, I'm going to give another shout-out to this. When Renee from Villiger was on the show, he turned me on to this podcast, and I have been thoroughly enjoying it. It's called Throughline. It's by NPR.
Oh.
And basically, they take a subject, and they just, in the course of the episode, tell you how it happened. So, like, the example Renee gave me was, how did Putin rise to power in Russia?
Okay.
And it starts his story when he was, like, living in the slums, and it goes all the way up. There's one that I saw today as I was driving over here. The newest one that it looks like has come out is it's all about the Fourth Amendment, search and seizure.
Nice.
And basically, it's like, you know, you just kind of look at that. And over the course of the episode, which it's, you know, 49 minutes, so it's not like it's super long, you learn all about that. The most recent episode prior to that, there was well, no, there's not that. But there was one they did on April 18th, all about Ralph Nader.
Talks oh, all I about remember that guy.
All about, you know, Ralph Nader and basically
the Green Party.
Well, yes, but he was more like his biggest claim to fame was he was a consumer advocate. So like Consumer Reports,
okay,
and that sort of thing. He would come out and he would basically say this product's unsafe and like force, you know, change and that sort of thing. So like, yeah, you have it talks all about Ralph Nader, but there's one from March 28th, the history of Hezbollah.
Oh yeah,
you know. So I mean, like
I subscribed and liked
all kinds of different things with this podcast. But yeah, Throughline.
That sounds.
It seems like a Pinky podcast.
Okay, I'll take it. That reminds me of, did you ever listen to This American Life? I don't even know if that's still a thing.
I don't even know if it is anymore either. I'm aware of it, but I don't know. That was kind of before podcast,
I feel like. It felt very NPR-ish. I don't know if it was technically an NPR product, but they just told very interesting stories. And I remember distinctly being on an airplane. I don't even remember what the episode was, but I listened to it on the flight. I think it was about that school district in Missouri over in St. Louis that got taken over by the state.
Okay.
Anyway, and the kids had, they ended up shutting it down, and the kids had to be bused to the new school, and there was some socioeconomic disparity between, so it was like, you know, nobody was kind of sure how this was going to go, and the students at the new school that the kids were being bused into, like, made these signs, basically had a pep rally welcoming kids, and it ended up, like, the episode, the theme I got was, like, the parents were out there purporting this was going to be awful and terrible and bad things were going to happen. And it was like, the kids were like, no, we're going to make this work. And it was like, I was crying as the plane was landing. Because I thought, I was like, how true is that?
Yeah.
You know, stupid adults doing stupid things.
We all.
And kids are the resilient ones. So take that.
Right?
Yeah.
We all should embrace our inner child a little more.
Exactly.
We all, as adults, we overthink shit way too much.
Absolutely.
If there's one thing out of this whole, like, dating experience that I've been going through, I have found that both I and so many other people, we all overthink the shit out of everything. What if we would just be just more comfortable and chill? It would be so much easier, you know, and honest. But that's a whole other thing.
Do you know, it's funny you say that, because I actually texted a friend this morning, the police officer Nick.
So we got,
you know, I have like three Nicks in my life.
I know. So many Nicks.
Anyways, I texted him because he you know, law enforcement's a very hard profession, and a lot of the officers I know have a negative attitude because I think, you know, they've seen a lot. They wear the weight of the profession.
They're jaded.
Exactly. I mean, and I think if I had the history that they have, maybe I would be too.
Yeah.
But there's this one guy who's not. He's very positive. Like, he's incredibly intelligent. And so I was talking to someone else the other day about how, for that interview, you know,
oh,
what
yeah,
I'm talking
I know
about.
What you're talking about. Yeah.
This leader is very positive. I really admire him. And I said, you know, talk about your positivity. And he's like, you know, people think it's naive that I'm positive. They think that I'm only positive because I must not understand the seriousness of something. And he's like, and it's quite the opposite. I do understand it. And I intentionally work hard. Like, what's the value of constantly, it's easy to be like, this is shit. I'm not going to do this. This,
yeah.
You know, it's easier to be dragged down. He said, so he has like, he described building your positivity kind of like a muscle, you know, and he's like, and I work at it because nobody wants a leader that's walking around saying how shitty everything is.
Yeah.
And that's so true.
It is true.
And so I thought about that now, and the whole time he was talking to me, it reminded me of this, other friend Nick, and I'm like, he could be like every other person and just super negative and really skeptical, and he's not. And so I texted him this morning and was like, this is totally random and I know this is going to be weird, but like, thank you for being more positive, because it's so, and he, in his whole life, that I'm circling back now to your comment earlier, he doesn't overthink things.
Okay.
He's like, things are going to be what they're going to be. And, you know, not trying to think too much ahead about all the different 10 ways that this date or this meeting or whatever could go. And I'm like, I would like to be more like that.
I don't find myself overthinking like that way. Where I find myself overthinking is about intention, if that makes sense.
Yes. Why somebody's doing something.
Yeah, well, yeah, that kind of applies to all of it. You know, like, are they super into? Mm-hmm. Are they super out of? Like, what is the point here?
Correct.
You know, and that's the rabbit hole I find myself going down, is overthinking about intention.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, what something is, no, I tend to be the same in terms of, like, look, it is what it is. Like, it's going to be what it's going to be. And believe it or not, despite the fact that it seems like every time you come on the show with me, I turn into a curmudgeon. I actually do have a fairly optimistic outlook on life for the most part. You know, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I'm dealing with my housing situation, for example. I have very little time to be finding somewhere else to go. And I'm doing so in a really horrible fucking housing market.
It's like, very it's challenging.
Really, really challenging. And yet, I'm fine. I'll figure it out. I'm not going to be homeless. I mean, one way or the other, I'll figure something out.
Yeah.
I don't want to move multiple times.
Right.
So I'm trying to like figure that out in the process. But you know, it's what it is. Well, it'll all come together. You know. So maybe that's naive. Maybe that's Pollyanna. You know,
so do you think, well, is naive and Pollyanna the same? Like, I think you recognize the challenges of finding a new place and, you know, you're not, right.
I 100% recognize the challenges.
But you're also doing what you can do right now.
Well, and that's it. I'm doing what
I can. And when you're doing what you can right now, I don't think it's Pollyanna to be like, you know. To me, the Pollyanna are the people that aren't, I don't know, they're not working towards it.
Yeah, if I had to move out in 2 weeks and I were doing what I'm doing now, then yeah, that's Pollyanna-ish, you know? But I have, give or take, a month or two, you know? And do I think that I'm going to be able to find and purchase a home in a month or two? It's not impossible. It's difficult. But that's where you got to put in the work and the effort, you know? You know, I don't know. Like, I found I found that, like, you know, there's so many different other little aspects of my life that I'm like, okay, I got to scale this back. I got to scale that back because I don't have time for that right now.
Yeah.
You know, like watching TV. I mean, you know, look, I got home last night after doing the deliveries. I could have watched something on TV. Okay, admittedly, I did. I watched the most recent episode of X-Men 97 on Disney Plus, but I don't want to go all full on nerd alert, you know, for everybody here. If anybody did watch that in the 90s, it's amazing, but that's neither here nor there. But the point is, you know, I haven't been, I've got a running list to watch now, you know, because at some point, I'm going to be sitting in a new house and I'm not going to have any fucking money. And it's going to be like, well, what am I going to do? I've got this whole list of shit that I can watch now, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got that going for me. There, you know, all things are in all good time, all things will happen. So in this case, you know, I'll watch what I watch when I have time. And for right now, I'm spending a lot of time on Realtor and Zillow.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Interesting. Well, what else are we going to talk about? This is really a quick one.
Yeah, first of all, this cigar is a solid stick. Like, this
is. It
is. I need to write this down as a, like, I need to pick these up.
I don't know how, I don't know if the 10th is a, limited thing, or if they're going to keep it around.
But I mean, even you reminding me that I really like the Leaf by Oscars.
Yeah, but that's the thing. They have the regular Leaf by Oscars available all the time, and those are ones like to be honest, even I forget. You know, like I'll go in the humidor, and I don't even like all the time grab one. You know, and I should grab them more because I do enjoy them. And you got to admit, and you know, you got to love a gimmick. And having the cigar or the tobacco leaf as the cellophane, it makes it stand out.
It sure does.
You know, it definitely makes
well,
it stand
out. Well, and that's a good point. That's not something, even having seen how it was packaged, I'm not sure I would have remembered. But now I'll remember that when I walk in and see something.
Anyway. So yeah, I don't have your fun facts edited up. I don't know if you happen to know one off the top of your head. Probably not. Not right off. I'm putting you on the spot, so I understand if you don't.
You know that is not where I thrive.
I know that is not where you thrive. You are a planner through and through. Oh, somebody's calling me. Well, oh, look, telemarketer. Boy, this could be fun.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to do it, though, but this could be fun. You know, I bring in a telemarketer and, you know, live on the show.
Yeah. Well, I texted you this morning.
It's super tempting. I'm not going to do it, but it's super tempting. Anyway.
You had texted me earlier in the week, and I didn't respond because I was like, I need to look at my calendar, right? I can't, off the top of my head, I can't tell you what the rest of my week looks like. So mentally, I was like, I need to remember to look at
that. Yeah, because your calendar is insane.
I mean, it's busy, but I love it.
Fire.
Oh, sorry. I'm in a good spot right now. The challenge I have is we're getting ready to redo our kitchen.
Yeah.
And knowing that there will be, you know, somebody, painter needs to come by, the cabinet person needs to come by. Like, I've had to intentionally scale back and make sure I'm home so that when, you know, they're not usually booking a month out. They're like, can I stop by next week?
Yeah.
And my calendar generally doesn't support a, hey, can you stop by next week? So, and we're, you know, in the middle of the sports season for the kids. So that's 3 or 4 times a week.
I'm glad you love it.
My Instagram feed is full of sports memes right now. It like knows that this is the time of year we're out and about. And I know that people that aren't in the world of travel sports are like, God, it just seems like a lot.
It does.
But it's the time I spend with my family.
Yeah.
We were at the ball field here in town for 13 hours on Sunday.
Oh, God.
Right? And they played at 8:30 in the morning.
See, I guess that'd be all right if I were out there sitting in with my cigars and just kind of like going to town. But I guess
Picture me without cigars.
But I don't know if you could do that. Like,
smoke at the park?
Yeah.
I think you, I mean, I wouldn't sit there around the kids and light.
You could, but that's the thing. Like, are you going to end up with all these, like, baseball parents that are like, oh, my God, look at him.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? What kind of savage does that? What kind of savage sits there
smoking in front of the kids?
Smoking in front of the children. Don't they know about the evils of tobacco? By the way, did you see there's a new dispensary in town? Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
It was a beautiful day. We won the 8:30 game. Didn't play again until 2. So we came home, let the dog out, hung out, grabbed some food, went back to the park. I love that. The kid loves it. Javier loves it. Like, it's... Yeah. That's my hobby right now.
Okay.
So
it's what
we do.
Okay.
And I'm also very, very keenly aware that I've got 4 more good years with my son.
It's kind of what I was just sitting here thinking is that realistically at some point your son's going to be older.
These are
He's
the
gonna
good
have
old
his
days.
Own life.
I'm literally living in the good old days.
I mean, what is it that I don't know. I know this, but I don't know it off the top of my head. But they say that like you spend like...
Yes.
80% of your life or something with somebody in like the first like
12 years.
Yeah.
And then, yes.
And then it just off a
drops
cliff.
Off. Yep.
And it's crazy.
Well, think about how often consider. You see your own parents.
Well, no. And that's the thing. When I, at first I was like, no, but then I realized I was like, oh crap, they're right.
This is it.
So
yeah, basically, I mean, he's getting ready to be done with 8th grade. So he'll start high school. And then once he starts driving, it's like, I just hear you never see your kids.
Well, yeah, because...
And when there's multiple...
They're free at that point.
When people have multiple kids, like, I know it's a lot for them, but, yeah. Like, we had fertility issues, and we're very lucky and thankful we had the one. And I'm just really aware that every first for his is our last.
Wow.
His 8th grade graduation, which, you know, we don't make a big deal about, but that's it. We get to do this one time.
Yeah.
You know? And so when other people are just so... kind of taken aback by how we live our life. I'm like, you have 4 kids.
I don't know if you want to get into this or not, but I'm going to ask this question and you can tell me pass and we can move on. So it has become a thing at some of the local junior high schools for their 8th grade graduations to do these parades. This started during COVID.
Right.
Where the administrators stand out in front of the school and basically the graduates get in a car with family and they drive past the administrators and they basically are like, hi, and do a little wave. And that's and it's a parade and not an actual graduation ceremony. Now, I'll be honest. I find the concept of an 8th grade graduation kind of like goofy.
Same.
But be that as it may, it exists. And so if you're going to do it, I kind of feel like do it right. And I kind of feel like these parades are
I'm totally
even goofier.
I'm totally fine with a parade. And again, it's my perspective is I'm with you. I didn't graduate 8th grade.
Yeah.
I didn't know that that was a thing until we moved here.
Yeah.
And it's,
I mean,
it's odd to me.
I have an idea as to why it exists. And I guess I could say it because let's be real. There's going to be a certain percentage of people that don't have another graduation.
And that's fine, but then do that for your family.
Well,
you know,
I know, but
so I don't mind it. I understand the people that
now when you start getting
it.
Into like preschool graduation and kindergarten graduation
yes.
and all
yes.
that, I'm like, come on, people.
Yes,
you're just trying to be cutesy for kids, you
Correct.
Know, and everything. But
well,
yeah.
And I'm even saying this as a parent who, I mean, I don't think my son is valedictorian, but I mean, he's gotten straight A's his entire time.
Okay.
I think he's had all A pluses except for 1 or 2 classes in 3 years. So he probably would have had some recognition and honors and stuff. And that's not why we do things. So
yeah.
Like, I don't mind it. I don't care. Because what's the alternative? Go sit in a stuffy gym for 3 hours, buy a cap and gown,
True.
Have a party. Like I want to celebrate him in a way that he wants to be celebrated. And he is not a attention on me. He would not want to walk on a stage. He would certainly not want to buy the cap and gown. So for
are you even going to do the,
no.
the parade?
We are going to likely, I'm going to ask him if he wants to or not. But you know, and that's the other thing is a lot of people, you hear it already, they're renting limos. So the people that are going to be extra are going to be extra regardless. So they're going to go all out. They're going to rent these fancy cars.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, we'll drive up in Arcadia and, you know, let him wave out the window. But other than that I'm thankful because this is the type of stuff, like we want to celebrate him, but this is the kind that satisfies him. But I get it. If there are families that you know, eighth grade was a struggle for their kid and they came out on top. And yeah, I can see why they'd be, you know, I just honestly don't care that much about it. So okay. I'm not, okay. I'm fine.
Okay.
And the other thing is, I usually always take the corporate side and that drives my husband crazy. But I think about the teachers. It's the end of the school year. They've been, it gets really hard. I know you're like, shut up.
Oh,
they're teachers. This is what they do.
I have thoughts, but I'm going to let them go.
But I'm like, it's.
They get paid enough that they can go and sit in a fucking gym for 3 hours. But anyway, that's all I'm going to say.
Wow.
That's all I'm going to say.
See, and I have the perspective. My friends are teachers and the end of the year is a dumpster fire.
And then they have the summer off.
And then they try to, well, some of them do. A lot of them do summer school and
they're getting paid for that. Mm-hmm. It's an employment thing. It's not like mm-hmm. they're not, it's not like it's volunteer work. I don't know. I don't want to shit on teachers. I just have some opinions at
See,
times.
Again, I come at it from my perspective. Other people's kids are not my spiritual gift.
I
do not generally enjoy
That's true.
Hanging
That's
around
true.
Other people's kids.
Okay.
I will say with the exception of our sports family, because I freaking love everybody there, which is unusual. That has not always been the case. I think teachers get paid fairly, and I also don't think that they need to be sitting in a 3-hour ceremony.
I'm not
at the
saying
end of the
that
year.
They're not being paid fairly. I'm just saying they're being paid well enough that a graduation should not be, an extra thing, you know, to where it's like difficult. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I feel like there's certain expectations to the position, you know? I don't know.
And I'm okay if one of those is not sitting in a stuffy auditorium. Cap and gown.
Cap and gown.
Wrangling people, dealing with parents. None of that sounds fun to me.
No.
So,
but
we will.
But you're not a teacher.
We will ask our, and thank God for that. We will ask our kiddo, he did awesome. He worked really hard. He's done great. Like, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
And he'll probably say, let's go out to dinner. He'll want to do sushi. He loves sushi dinner.
There you go.
We'll do dinner and we'll give him money and say, you can buy what you want.
There you go.
Because when he spends our money, we restrict it. Like, he can't buy video game skins and all that stuff. He can't do that with our money. He has to use his own.
It's windy here.
So it is very windy.
It's windy. I think we're supposed to get some storms this evening. So this makes, this makes sense. I think we're
supposed to check that.
I think we're supposed to get rain tonight. So the wind is making sense to me. Now I have one other topic that I do want to bring up, and you're a policy wonk.
Yeah.
So you might, I don't know. You might have opinions on this. People on YouTube. Sorry. I'm correcting something here. Spreading out the legs on the tripod just a little bit more. Because the tripod, I feel like, was a little
The rain's not supposed to come, till, midnight.
Oh, well, shit. Well, still, fronts move in kind of fun stuff.
All right.
Anyway, I am thankful for the wind, because we could be baking out here, too.
This is true.
So, Massachusetts. The Cigar Authority talked about this on their after show this week. For anybody who's looking for a little bit more on this subject. Massachusetts, there's at least a town, but maybe the state, I don't know. They're contemplating the idea of a generational tobacco ban. And what that means is basically if you were born after December 31st, 2003, because you'd be 21 as of the end of this year.
Dislike. Zero stars.
If you're born after that, you can no longer purchase tobacco products. So if, let's say, your birthday is January 1st, 2004, you're no longer allowed to buy tobacco products. And what the long and short of it is, as these people all die off, eventually no one will be able to buy tobacco products.
At that point, just outlaw tobacco. But is that essentially what they're doing?
The long and short of it. But here's the thing, though. Here's the weird aspect of that to me. And they brought it up a little bit on their show. But, the amount of tax revenue that they get from tobacco products, they're going to have to capture it from somewhere. So now what's happening is instead of the few paying that tax.
That value tax, everybody's going to absorb.
It's going to move on and it's going to become an everybody problem at that point.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, the other thing and they talked about this as well, you've got marijuana in all of these places. Oh, God, I just nearly burned myself. You got marijuana popping up in all these places as a product for sale. you have states that are investigating, you know, medicinal use, which, let's be real, is going to eventually lead to recreational use of magic mushrooms. You have some states that are, it's like, fucking free-for-all. I think up in the Pacific Northwest, like, one of those states up there, they passed a thing where it's like drugs are just like a free-for-all. But then that doesn't even get into alcohol.
Right.
Because right. I could make a solid argument that we are way more lenient about alcohol consumption and usage than tobacco consumption and usage. I cannot go just anywhere and fire up a cigar, purchase and fire
right.
up a cigar.
Right.
But I could go damn near anywhere and buy alcohol.
Yep.
And let's be real. The medical research about what alcohol does to you versus what a cigar will do to you. Now, I'm not getting into cigarettes and
correct,
all that,
right,
but a cigar, I mean, booze is way more harmful
right.
than what you and I are sitting here doing right now. And yet, nobody talks about that. You know, you've got, I mean, I drive all the time smoking cigars, and I'm not impaired. But yet, if I sit and I have, like, you know, a bottle of wine or, you know, a couple of cocktails or something like that and get behind the wheel of the car, now I am not only risking a DUI, I could, you know, cause a fatal accident. You know, there's literally Mothers Against Drunk Driving groups out there, you know, that are going to come yeah. after me and everything. And it's just, it's, I'm just saying, it's, I don't know why everybody is so focused on trying to kill off the use of tobacco versus other things.
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, well, to answer your question, like, my general philosophy is less government, the better.
Mm-hmm.
That's ultimately where I land.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would like to be in charge of myself and my family, and I don't want other people who have different values and different things telling me what I can and can't do.
For sure.
That's so, you know, and one person's rights ends where another begins. I kind of get that kind of thing, you know, so it can't be a blanket.
But you and I aren't going out and we're not going to, like, just any steakhouse restaurant and firing up a stogie after
right.
our meal.
Exactly.
In
yes.
the middle of the crowded room where
yes.
everybody's going to be impacted by it.
Yep.
You know, I feel like generally cigar smokers are fairly courteous smokers. I think we're actually more courteous than cigarette smokers.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. So
and
that's
God, the
that's...
vapors and the pot people, my God.
Right.
You know? Have you been to a big city lately? You walk around and it smells like fucking skunk everywhere you go. Vegas has a permanent skunk smell now to it.
Oh.
You know, because of the amount of pot that's being smoked all over the damn place.
Yeah.
It's just, it's weird.
Yeah. So that's where I land in terms of, like, the policy side of it. Like, I just generally value personal freedom over people telling me what I can do. But then the practical side of it is that I think this, and I'm going to speak really out of school here, but it just shows the lack of lobbying capabilities from the cigar industry. The fact
that
there doesn't seem to have been a lot of distinction between cigarettes and cigars over the years. And the fact that people view cigars as much more harmful than alcohol.
No, I would agree with that. And I know that there are some groups. there was a lot of effort made in some recent court battles that has provided a lot of evidence, you know, that was submitted to the court for those of us who want to do our own personal lobbying to use studies and various things of that nature that we can cite. But no, I would agree. And you know, the cigar organizations that do lobbying, they worry about federal and state. And even state, to be honest, there's 50 states. They're stretched thin. They don't have the manpower to cover that. But what's happening is it's starting at the city level, and you have one city adopting it, which makes no sense because let's say the city, you know, that let's say we're in Crestwood, Missouri, where Dan's located. Let's say we're in Crestwood, Missouri, and let's say Crestwood says no more cigars for anyone that is born after 2003. Well, that person that's born in 2004, when they turn 21, can just go to Sunset Hills, which is right next door.
Right.
And they can purchase right next door, and it's no big deal, you know? So what ends up happening is then one city adopts it, then another city, then another city, then another city. And now you get this grouping of cities. Well, now what ends up happening is the state level legislators see this, figure this out, and then they bring it to the state level to try and introduce it. Then once you have states, a couple different states introducing this shit and passing it, then the federal people start paying attention, and then it becomes a conversation at a federal level. And it's one of those things where I think it's imperative on both the retailers in their cities to pay attention to what's going on at their city council, but also I think it's imperative for the cigar-smoking voters in these cities to pay attention to what's going on in your city council. I've said it many, 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 many times. City council impacts your life way more than Congress does.
Yes.
Congress does not impact your life anywhere near as much as your neighbor who's an alderman.
Yep.
You know, like, you need to be paying attention to the city shit because they are impacting your life on a regular basis.
Well, and to your point that you just described here, I feel a little differently in the sense that I'm okay if local governments want to take action on something. I think things should be left up to more local things. Because then you're running into your elected official at the grocery store, and you're theoretically, it's easier to influence them. And then if you don't like what the city has done, I can move out. Right? Whereas if the state and the feds implement something, like, these people that threaten to move
trapped to
Canada, they're really not going to do that.
No, I know.
You know, but it's easier to move, you know, from Lebanon to Belleville than it is, you know, Illinois to Indiana.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess what it boils down to is, you know, and I, as somebody who's worked in government before, a lot of things get introduced, very little of it actually gets pushed through.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that we as cigar smokers should be sitting back and like just assuming, that'll never pass.
Yeah.
You know, because let's be real. You got to be 21 to buy a cigar now, whereas it used to be 18. They're talking still about flavor bans and things of that nature, to where you could have flavored cigars getting taken care of. I mean, so it's one of those things that, you know, you got to be watchful of this shit because it starts local and moves the way up the chain. So, I mean, I would just say that any of my listeners in Massachusetts, but then more specifically, any of my listeners anywhere, pay attention to your city council because you have no idea what kind of goofy shit those people could be putting forward that you need to, like, get up and scream about.
I was going to try and do a retrohale.
I thought you were reacting to my comment.
Oh, no.
I was like, wait,
no,
what?
I totally agree. Get involved in local, at the local level. That's where you're... Like you said, that's what affects you more. It doesn't feel like it, but it genuinely,
100%
that's what
affects
you more. You're,
I mean, I live in a town where my garbage is done by a contract with the city, to where I don't have the ability to pick what company comes and picks up my garbage every week. You know, things like that. It's little things that you don't really even consider, but it's there. It's true.
Yeah.
You know, and it impacts your life in all variety of different ways. And in this case, I think it's fucking ridiculous. Like I said, I find the hypocrisy that we're going to go after the evils of tobacco, but yet we're not going to worry about marijuana, which, you know, for all of you people that imbibe in marijuana, I get it, you know, enjoy your life, whatever. But, you can't convince me that you're not impaired when you're getting behind the wheel of a car. You know, you cannot convince me that your mind is not altered to the point that you probably should not be driving. And that should be more regulated than tobacco, which does nothing to your mind. It does not impair your mind. And yet they're coming after my cigars and they're not going after, you know, or tightening up their regulations. And it's because they're making more fucking money on the pot right now than they are on cigars and cigarettes. And you know what? I don't like cigarettes. I don't. I'm never going to buy them. I don't personally like, there's a lot of things about it I don't like. But if you're sitting there and you enjoy cigarettes, you know what? Fine. Who cares? You know? I don't understand why everybody has, why these politicians feel the need to legislate my life.
Correct. But. Now, here's a discussion that goes along with that, though.
Okay.
There is, and I don't think it is so much on the cigar side, but the other things. If somebody does something, you know, personal freedom, I advocate for. Let me decide what I want to do.
For sure.
But if I drink a lot, let's say, okay, and then now I've got, and I know drinking a lot causes ill health effects. Well, then you know what? I should accept the responsibility that my health insurance is going to cost more, is going to pay
it's
more.
It's true.
It's going to cost me more money.
It is.
And that's a conversation people aren't willing to have. They want to behave in ways that they know long term are not good for them. And then they're going to bitch and moan when health insurance is too expensive.
I mean, that boils down to actions have consequences.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, yeah, if you're going to live an unhealthy lifestyle, then, you know, you should have to face the ramifications.
Understand
of
that. And we've taken some of that away with health insurance being tied to companies.
Yes.
A little more of that has come out since Obamacare and all of that. But it's like, you know, they needed 25 healthy people to make up for one unhealthy person. But then all 25 people paid more in health insurance.
Well, see, now we're getting in the whole like medical.
Then I would have paid
the health insurance on my industry own. And everything else. I mean,
yeah.
That's,
Obamacare was not health reform. It was health insurance reform. Yeah. And I'll just say that with confidence. Yeah.
Well, as somebody who's in the marketplace, let me tell you, anybody who's like telling you, oh, you can get really good insurance for cheap, bullshit. Like, I pay for my insurance and it's basic insurance. If I'm in a car accident today, I'll have some insurance, you know, but for my everyday normal health and things of that nature, it's very, very basic and it's not cheap.
Yeah.
You know, and God forbid if you want any sort of elective stuff to do.
Yep.
You know, like let's say I'm like, you know, I'm going to go out and get snipped tomorrow. I mean,
you can't pay for it.
I'm paying for it. That's an on me situation, you know.
That is also a conversation for another day. But I am happy to talk about birth control methods for both genders. I've got a whole.
I would take a pill in a heartbeat.
Tirade.
I would 100% take a
yes.
pill. If they could figure out a male birth control pill, I'd take
you're,
that.
You might be
I
the first man that I've met that feels that way.
100% in a heartbeat.
So, okay, maybe we'll get into this a little bit.
Why not?
So, I'm a female.
I'm almost out of cigar, but whatever.
I'm literally fertile 12 hours a month. Think about that.
Okay.
12 hours.
Okay.
Okay.
Small window.
It's a very small window.
Yeah.
But in order for me to get birth control, now it's changed in the last couple months. I've got to schedule a doctor's appointment. I've got to have some labs drawn. I've got to get a prescription. I've got, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the historical response to my 12-hour a month window has been hormonal. We've got to change your hormones. We've got to affect your ability for that 12 hours. Okay.
Yeah. Now,
and I'm fertile for 30 years, maybe, if even.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's even less than that. But men, on the other hand.
Whole life.
Millions and millions of sperm.
Whole life.
You're fertile 24/7.
You've got like Robert De Niro.
For like 80
years.
You got
Robert De Niro having fucking kids now in his 80s. I mean, it's like.
So if
yeah.
we should be.
And Al Pacino, now that I think about it.
You know.
Yeah.
Offering. Like, really effective birth control. Okay, we need the pills for men that affect their swimmers to swim.
Well, and vasectomies are reversible. So, like, I could go in now and have one. And then, let's say 10 years from now, I'm like, I really want a baby. And if that ever happens, I give all the parishioners permission to drive
Shut
to where
down.
I'm living and beat the holy piss out of me. But that's neither here nor there. But, like, I could have it reversed. You know, and to be honest, vasectomies are not foolproof. I know at least one guy who, you know, 17 years later had a oops baby.
Yeah, because, we're not like, creating you know, processes that are going to be 100%.
He had one that jumped the river, if you know right. what I mean. Yeah.
But in general, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it is crazy to me that the how difficult and how hormonally changing I have to do for a 12-hour window.
Well, and without being like, you know, super woke in this comment, it's because the men were writing the rules.
I believe that. I mean, like, and also,
it's
you're the first guy that I've heard that said, oh, I would totally take a pill.
100%.
Everybody else is like, no, I don't trust myself. I'm not that responsible.
Bullshit.
I'm like, because you're not responsible, now I have to physically alter my hormones?
Here's my
thing. Can you tell I'm perimenopausal I feel a certain way about this?
But see, here's the thing. Here's my thing. You're saying that guys are saying that they're not responsible enough to take the pill. What I'm saying is, I don't believe anybody is responsible enough to worry about it that I feel comfortable about it with myself.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the thing. I don't want to put myself, I am literally putting my future financially and everything else in the hands of somebody else.
Right.
If I'm trusting.
It makes no sense.
Oh, yeah. They took their pill this morning.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
And women are so responsible. We trust them to take a pill every day of the month for years for that one 12-hour window. And then I've got my male friends telling me they couldn't take one to go, come on.
I take vitamins every day.
Come on.
It would just be one more pill with the vitamins.
Thank you.
You know? I mean,
thank you for saying
that. I take an allergy pill probably the bulk of the year living where I live because it's like I've got farmers planting and harvesting all the freaking time. So it's like, you know, I mean,
it's no big deal.
It's not a big deal. It's truly
so if
not
our
a big
goal,
deal.
If our goal is to reduce unwanted pregnancies, which, by the way, are down. I mean, teenage pregnancy is down like 80% from the 1970s.
Well, that's good.
It's crazy.
That's good. And it's not like teens are not screwing.
Correct. So, yeah. You know,
they figured it out.
When there's a problem, I ask myself, like, what's the problem we're trying to solve? If we want unwanted
pregnancies.
Not that
I'm aware of how many teens are screwing. I just want that for the record.
I mean, there's nothing that would change the behavior. I don't feel like we've.
Well, no, that's
the
thing.
People are doing what they've always done.
The world is turning. Yeah. Teenagers are going to have sex. You know,
correct.
It's one of those things.
Right. So if our goal is to have less unwanted pregnancies, it starts with the men who are fertile 24/7 for approximately 80 years.
I don't disagree.
That's how we get. Okay, so that's my. Thank you for letting me.
You're also giving a lot of these guys credit that for 80 years they're going to be able to, you know, I mean.
If not, there's a pill that you're allowed to take.
That's true. Which, ironically enough,
was supposed. Where's my orgasm pill? Where's mine? Sorry.
I'm going to let that go.
Do you know how Viagra came to be?
It was a heart medicine.
It was a heart medication for blood pressure.
And it didn't work for that, right?
People were not wanting to let go.
And now, my God, you can get them through the mail.
With no appointment.
Yep.
Again.
Take a little online survey and.
But if I want to not be crazy throughout the month and I want to, I've got to. And I will. Here's the thing. I am not a hardcore feminist. You know this about me.
I know. I'm
right? I am not out there beating the drum and all this.
I want it for the record that I totally let the low-hanging fruit. That it's just, it's dropping to the ground because I'm not plucking it. I just want it for the record. Anyway. No, I.
It just, it doesn't.
Look, I get it.
It makes no sense.
I guess, you know, I would 100% take a pill. And I think that more men, you know, should consider the snippy snippy.
Well, thank you for allowing me to provide my perspective.
The only part about the snippy snippy that I don't like, and it's one of those things that, so, like, it's you get it done, and, yeah, you recover. You get a bag of frozen peas in your lap for the weekend, you know. It is what it is. I got to go back to the doctor. Like what? Once a month for 6 months to like jerk off in a cup so that they can count my swimmers to make sure there's none there. And I'm like thinking, I guess it's biology, this is science, whatever. I'm thinking like, why doesn't it just cut it off right away? You know, why do I have to go back for 6 months to like do that?
I don't know.
I feel like that would be awkward.
Well, no, I'll tell you what's awkward. You want to know what's awkward?
Oh,
is
God.
Going to the doctor.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Stripping down naked, getting on the exam table, and there's these stirrups there, and you never start in the right position. So somebody walks in, and you're naked from the waist down, and you put your feet up in this thing, and they're like, come on down. Come on down. Nope. And you're sitting there scooting your butt, trying to get close. That's awkward. Then the next awkward
thing.
That
just sounds like sex.
No. Except no one's warmed you up. The next awkward thing happens when they take out the speculum that is cold. And do you know what it is? Have you seen it?
I am very actually aware of a speculum. In fact, I know of a speculum that is made from a material like it's got like glow stick technology. So that it lights, you know, and all that. And, I'm very familiar, actually, with that. I know the guy who owns the patent to that, actually.
It's fascinating.
Yep.
My point is that you think it's awkward to pleasure yourself and drop your boys off at the pool once a month for 6 months. And I'm telling you, women
go in. I think you've just mixed your metaphors there, because I think that's pooping.
Drop your swimmers off at the hospital, clinic, whatever. You know, what's awkward is the 40 minutes it takes to be super uncomfortable during a female exam. So.
Well, the turn your head and cough exam is not exactly fun.
Do they probe you?
I mean,
with a metal object.
I can't
say
that I've ever had
with
it.
But
ironically, I say, but when you do get the prostate exam, that's when you do get the finger up the butt.
Women also get that, so that's nothing.
Oh, well, fuck.
I'll take 10 of those over the metal speculum that has the prongs in it, and then they take a Q-tip that's got scrapey stuff on it, and they're scraping your inside. I mean,
the parishioners are going to have so much fun with this group, this thing, because now they're going to be like, Pinky likes butt stuff. Anyway, because you just...
Better not.
Well, you just said you'd take 10 of them over the metal thing.
Trust me, I think most women would.
Oh, God.
Most women.
Okay, well, all right then. Why don't...
Just trying to provide some perspective.
Oh, there's perspective. let's do this. This would normally be the time that I give some information about My Monthly Cigars, but I've hired that out this week, so take it away.
My Monthly Cigars is a premium cigar subscription service. It comes in a variety of different size boxes at affordable prices. Use offer code PULPIT and get free shipping on your first box and 20% off any items in the online store at mymonthlycigars.com.
That's offer code PULPIT. Thanks.
I hate you.
And while you're over there, make sure you check out the Fucking Good Coffee. And guys, the Fucking Good Cigar should be shipping soon. I've been texting with Nick and... you know, it's going to be soon here. So if you did not get in on the pre-order, make sure you're on the email list so that you know when it's going to be live on the site so that you can order some for yourself. If, like I said, if you didn't get the pre-order, and because it's going to be a limited deal and you're going to want to get in on it while you can. So anyway,
there you go.
And then in terms of the social, she's just staring at me right now. Like, what the fuck? In terms of the socials, I'm on Instagram at The Cigar Pulpit. I'm on Facebook where we have the parishioners group. We have Twitter/X, YouTube where you can watch this. And I keep saying it, there are a few tickets left for Pulpit Fest 2024 that you can get by going over to Eventbrite, Brite.com, and signing up for that. It's a complimentary ticket, and it's in Palm Coast, Florida at the Ashen Ale, August 23rd through the 25th. It's going to be a wonderful time. We have all kinds of great surprises and fun in store for you guys. I mean, the goodie bags are going to be out of this freaking world. And you're going to want to get in on this. This is going to be a really good time. But anyway, so Villiger presents the Pulpit Fest 2024 down there at Pulpit Fest. Get your ticket on Eventbrite.
Sounds good.
Speaking of which, I need to talk to you about that when we're done.
You okay?
Yeah. I have an idea.
You okay?
I think we need to get an autographed 8x10 picture of Pinky.
Oh, my.
That you guys can, that we can have like a little mini auction for.
Oh.
I think that would, you know, have that at Pulpit Fest. I think that would be, I think that'd be good.
I know zero people would want that.
Oh, no. No, no, no. I know plenty of parishioners that would be like, oh, my gosh, I got the picture of Pinky. Wow. So, yeah, I think we need to make that happen.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, well, final thoughts on the Leaf by Oscar 10th anniversary?
I would smoke that again tomorrow.
I dug it.
It's good.
And the spice level on it kind of picked up near the end.
Yeah.
You know, it was a nice, good, clean smoke. Construction was good, even with the wind and everything going on.
Yeah.
The burn
line. It held
line,
its own.
It burn line held really, really well. And, no, I dug the hell out of it. Another quality product by Oscar. So, anyway, well, Pinky, thanks so much for taking time out.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we as normal, we covered a variety of different topics there.
You could say that again.
I did not anticipate getting into that last topic.
Did not know that's where that was going
to go. I didn't either. I didn't either. So, anyway, well, guys, this has been another sermon from the Cigar Pulpit. I'm Nick.
It's a girl, Pinky.
Everybody stay safe and stay smoky. Later, guys.